Hello! Welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. This week we are presenting part two of a serial novel called The Brilliant Firefly, an original work by Daniel Hines. Over the next few weeks, we'll be presenting all of Book One, Reborn. Today, we'd like to say a special thank you to Cassie, Zachary, and Tessa and their family, Milo and Olive and their family, Charlotte and Maeve and their family, and Caleb, Kate, and Rachel and their family. Thank you for helping to support our show, Rachel, Kate, Caleb, Maeve, Charlotte, Olive, Milo, Tessa, Zachary, and Cassie. You are part of what makes it possible for us to continue to produce fun new stories for our listeners. You may have noticed that we've had more ads on the show lately, and we wanted to reassure you that this is just during the holiday season and not the new normal. We'll be donating the revenue from our holiday ads in the name of the podcast and our listeners to DonorsChoose.org, funding educational projects in public schools around the country. If you'd like to, head to DonorsChoose.org, browse the projects that need funding, and let us know which ones you think we should support. As always, if you head to Patreon.com/stories and make a pledge, no matter how small, we provide you with ad-free downloads of all of our stories for you to keep. Thanks! Enjoy the episode! The Brilliant Firefly, Reborn. Chapter 3. Morning Coffee. Jillian was back in Giga City. She was sitting at her desk, working on her homework, papers spread unorderly around her laptop. One floated up off the desk, folded itself into a plane, and went soaring out the window. The neighbors in the apartment next door were shearing their sheep. They're noisy sheep. Ugh, there's something strange about that, thought Jill. Isn't there? Before she could puzzle it out, a giant rooster smashed through her wall, cockadoodling so loud it sounded like a lion's roar. This time, she didn't roll fast enough, and she toppled out the side of her apartment building and hurtled down and down and down. On all sides of her, above and below, cows were falling too, mooing wildly. The ground was looming large, getting closer and closer. Police cars below cast red and blue strobes across the rooster's giant feathers. It crowed again, louder and louder. The ground was speeding up. A cow mooed, a sheep baaed. The rooster crowed again and again and again, and Jill jerked awake. She was tangled in her blankets in the small room at her grandpa's house. Outside her window, the rooster was crowing loudly. The sun was barely over the horizon. Great! I love waking up at the crack of dawn, thought Jill. She laid her head under her pillow to block out the crows, but it was too late. She was awake. Ugh. She slipped on her shorts and a tank top, then brushed back her hair and winced. With gentle fingers, she explored the back of her neck and found a fat, painful bug bite. Another win for farm living, she thought, and padded downstairs on bare feet. Grandpa Jack was already up and puttering in the kitchen, accompanied by the welcome smells of eggs, bacon, and strong coffee.
"Look at you, Miss Early Riser. Did the rooster wake you?" he asked.
Jill nodded, and he set a heaping plate down on the scuffed little kitchen table.
"Well, since you're up, breakfast is served."
"Mom up too?" Jill asked as she dug into the food. It tasted good. Amazing, in fact. Better than anything she'd had in the city. Grandpa Jack laughed.
"It takes more than a rooster to wake your mother up, I think. That one always liked sleep more than breakfast."
He loaded another plate for himself, plus two mugs of steaming coffee, and sat across from Jill.
"Good, right?" "That's incredible," Jill said,
the words muffled around a mouthful of bacon.
"Eggs are from the chickens out back, just laid this morning. Bet you don't get food so fresh in the city, huh?"
"Never," Jill agreed.
"You ever drink coffee?"
He slid a mug over to her. Jill shook her head. "I've always liked the smell, but Mom said it'd stunt my growth."
Grandpa gave a bull snort. "Muh, one cup won't hurt you."
Jill looked at him warily, brows furrowed, maintaining eye contact as she picked up the mug and slowly, skeptically, took a big sip. She coughed and spit the mouthful of coffee back into the mug. It came through her teeth in a fine mist, speckling the mug and table. "Ugh," she said. "How did you make this? By pouring old dishwater through an oil filter?
Just don't tell your mom,
he said with a wink. Just don't tell me what? Said Mom as she came down the stairs, towel wrapped artfully around her hair. Her eyes swept over the table, pausing on the coffee mug, still dripping with spit. Dad, tell me you didn't give her coffee.
I didn't give her coffee.
Oh, so you have two cups for yourself?
Yup, sure do.
Then drink one. Gramps reached for his own pristine cup. The other one, Mom said with a smile. Gramps grimaced, his eyes promising revenge on mother and daughter alike, and then he drained the spit-dotted mug in one long gulp. Not one for half measures, he then took his own mug and drained that too. The battle won, he turned his attention back to Jill.
After breakfast, I gotta head into town, run a few errands. You wanna come with?
Jill nodded. Town sounded like civilization. Maybe they would even have internet. Can I take a shower first, though? Grandpa Jack looked at his wristwatch with exaggerated slowness.
Oh, I suppose we can fit a shower into our busy schedule of errands, lunch, and dinner. There's a bucket out back by the well pump. You fill that up, hang it from a hook in the barn out by the horses, and go to town. You can even use the horse brush on that mane of yours if you'd like. Horses won't mind.
Jill gaped at her grandpa, a piece of bacon falling from her open mouth. I'll just run away, she thought. I'll start walking into the corn, and I won't stop until I hit indoor plumbing. Grandpa Jack burst out laughing.
I'm just pulling your leg, Jilly Bean. Bathroom's in fine working order. Down the hall, first door on your left.
Anyone ever tell you you're really funny, Grandpa? Jill asked, walking to the bathroom and rolling her eyes so hard it's a wonder they didn't come unscrewed. You could be a superhero. The bad guys would laugh themselves right over. Chapter 4. Beautiful Springvale. The way to town was 10 miles of bumpy, dusty, dirt road with nothing but corn on either side. Grandpa sang along to a country song on the stereo in a surprisingly pleasant baritone, and Jill thought of how satisfying it would be to smash apart the stupid banjo that kept taking solos. All in all, it was a relief when the streets turned paved and town sprang into view over the horizon.
Here we are,
said Gramps, pulling into a central parking lot in front of a big old church.
Beautiful Springvale, watering hole of the corn farming elite.
They hopped out of the truck. Here, at least, there were people. They were moving in and out of stores, some still dirty from the fields, others dressed for business. A pretty woman in a sundress pushed a stroller up to Jill and gave her a wide smile. Inside, the baby gurgled happily and sucked at its toes.
Morning, Jack, said the woman. And you must be Jill. I've heard so much about you. I'm Amy Coachman, your new neighbor. My daughter and her friends are in the bookstore if you want to say hello. They're excited about having a new friend to show around.
Ugh, Jill replied. Don't mind her, said Grandpa. She's just at that age where she thinks being aloof and rude is cool. It'll pass.
Amy laughed. It sounded about as real as the doctor's notes Jill had forged to get out of class.
I know how that is, she turned to Jill. You and my Madison will get along famously.
Jill was working on a smart-aleck reply when her grandpa gave her a little push.
Bookstore's a couple blocks that way. It's the one with all the books in it. Big city girl like you, I'm sure you can manage. Meet me back here in an hour, all right?
Jill nodded, grateful for the time alone. She headed down the wide street. People kept smiling and waving at her, wishing her a good morning. It felt strange. In the city, you didn't smile and wave at anyone, and if someone said good morning, they were probably trying to sell you something. She had hoped for an internet cafe, but it was quickly clear that particular hope wasn't going to come to much. She lowered her sights to a public library, but that, too, wasn't meant to be. Her phone remained lifeless. No bars, no Wi-Fi signals at all. It was like she was stuck in the middle of a great sea, one of corn instead of water. She sighed and headed for the bookstore. Maybe a friend would help. Yeah, right. The bookstore was part of a little strip mall, wedged in between a shop selling farm equipment and a sports bar called The Feed Bag. Charming. A bell tinkled as she opened the door. The clerk behind his dusty little counter waved without looking up from his paperback. Here, at least, Jill felt at home. Untidy shelves lined the walls and covered almost every inch of floor, bristling with books of all shapes and sizes. Tiny paper signs were taped to the wood, labeling each section, and a larger sign hung behind the clerk, reading, "Paperbacks $2, hardcovers $5. Jill fished in her pocket and found a $10 bill. School was almost out for the summer, and she couldn't enroll until next year anyway, so she had plenty of time to kill. "Do you have any books on judo?" she asked the clerk. He looked up from his book, annoyed, and pushed back his owlish glasses.
"Judy Blume, young adult. Try under B. It's the letter after A."
So that's how it was going to be. Jill reached over the counter and pinched his book shut. "You must not have heard me. I'm looking for judo. J-U-D-O. He reddened.
"I'm not sure. You can try self-help. It's along the back wall of the store."
He gestured vaguely away into the maze of bookshelves. Jill made her way through, breathing deeply. There was nothing like the smell of a good used bookstore. It was paper and dust and sweat and stories. Stories most of all. As she neared the back of the store, she could hear voices through a shelf. Probably Madison Coachman. Maybe she would be cool? Somehow, Jill doubted it.
"Gross, look at his glasses!"
A voice rang out loud. Jill stopped and pulled a book from the shelf in front of her, peering through the gap it left. Three girls. With their clothes and makeup, Jill placed them somewhere between 14 and 25 years old. They were standing in a loose ring around a short, doughy boy, peering up frightened through glasses so thick they made his eyes look huge and buggish.
"And look at his clothes! His pants have holes in them!"
Jill started to bristle. She and her mom were well enough off now, but when her mom was finishing up med school, most of Jill's clothes had come from the secondhand shop. Plenty of wear on those clothes, make no mistake, and it's not like Jill helped them any, running around town and getting into fights. She could still remember how some of the girls had chanted,
"Jilly Jilly, Big Hill Billy," at her.
"How about you leave him alone?" she said through the gap in the shelf. The girls looked up.
"Who said that?"
"It's the ghost of the bookstore, here to haunt your butt," Jill said, and shoved a book out of the shelf so that it went flying at the girls. They squawked and backed away.
"Madison, let's go," said one of the girls. "I don't want my butt haunted."
Madison huffed and came around the edge of the shelf.
"It's just some dumb girl."
"Look who's talking," said Jill. Madison looked her up and down, an air of casual disdain on her pug-nosed face.
"You must be Jill, Mr. J's granddaughter from the city. I thought you'd be cooler."
"Cooler than you," Jill said.
"Oh yeah? Nice book. Looking for a date?"
Jill looked down and flushed red. The book she had pulled at random from the shelf to spy on the girls was still in her hand. On the cover in big block letters, it read, "Amateur Animal Husbandry." The matchstick anger flared inside of her, sudden and hot. And dangerous. That too. Two steps, thought Jill. Two steps and a quick feint and a shoulder wheel throw sending her crashing through the racks of books, and she'll never mess with me again. Instead, she took a deep, zen breath and felt the match inside her gutter out. Breaking a girl in half wasn't always the answer.
"How about you just don't pick on the guy?"
The three girls giggled.
"Whatever you say, loser."
They pushed past her and headed out the door.
"Later, Four Eyes,"
Madison called over her shoulder. Jill watched them go, shaking with anger. She slammed the animal husbandry book back onto the shelf, muttering curses to herself.
"Don't let them get to you," said the boy. "They're like that to everyone."
He came around the corner and stood next to Jill, his arms loaded with books.
"Thanks for sticking up for me, though."
"Don't mention it," Jill said, plucking the top book of the boy's stack. "Advanced Boolean functions, huh?" The boy sighed.
"Go ahead. Call me a nerd like everyone else."
"I mean, you are a nerd," said Jill.
"Luckily for you, I am too. This is the old edition. I got this year's at home. I could lend it to you if you want. Some of the updates are pretty useful."
"You've read it?" he said. "But you're a..."
He caught himself and stopped, blushing red.
"A girl? So what? I was an advanced comp sci freshman year, and my father was an engineer. He used to let me work on prototypes in his shop with him."
Used to?
He passed away last year, Jill said, then bowled on before the boy could start in with the rubbish about how sorry he was. Don't worry about it. What's your name, anyway? I can't exactly call you Four Eyes if we're going to be friends.
A friend would be good, said the boy eagerly. You can call me Specs.
That isn't much better than Four Eyes, is it? Specs snorted a laugh.
Yeah, blame my great-great-grandfather, he said, then continued on when Jill gave him a look. It's my last name, Specs.
What's your first name?
Dick Butkus. My father really loves football.
Jill started to laugh, but managed to hide it with a cough. Specs it is, then, she said. Specs smiled.
Hey, my dad's waiting for me outside. He hates bookstores, but we should hang out this summer. I'd love to get that new copy of Boolean from you, at least.
Jill shrugged. It's not like she had a lot else going on. Besides, she hadn't had anyone to talk science with since, well, since her dad. Sure, I'm staying with my grandpa, Jack Jay's. You know the place? Specs nodded, his heavy glasses bouncing on the bridge of his nose.
My farm is just down the way, across from Madison's.
Cool. Well, come by tomorrow. Lord knows I won't be doing anything much. What do you guys do for fun around here?
Read and get bullied, said Specs, heading for the door. What else is there?
What else is there? Thought Jill. She very much hoped to find an answer to that question. Chapter 5. Strangers and Secrets. Left to herself, Jill browsed around the store for a while. There wasn't anything on judo, but she did find an old paperback hand-to-hand combat manual titled MCMAP. The title had been scratched out and someone had written Semper Fu underneath, but it looked to have some interesting maneuvers inside. She bought that, along with an old engineering textbook and a C++ programming guide to refresh her memory. The clerk even gave her the McMap book free by way of apologizing for being rude to her earlier. She told herself that the textbook and the programming guide were just to make Mom happy, but the truth was, seeing Specs with his arm full of books had woken a thirst in her. One she had been trying to suppress since that night her dad had failed to come home from work. Books purchased, she decided to spend the rest of her free hour wandering around Springvale. She would still wince when strangers gave her big, friendly waves, but she managed to find a general store where she bought a bottle of juice and a blow pop. After that, she continued wandering to the edge of town, where she found a boarded-up old building with a sagging farmer's porch. It looked pretty rough, but the porch had a wooden bench and a table, and it was out of the sun. Better yet, no one was around to bother her. She carefully climbed up and eased herself onto the bench. It was comfy there, with an early summer breeze rolling by. A perfect spot to read a while. She was a chapter into the engineering textbook when she heard the voices. It took her a moment, but she realized they were coming from inside the abandoned building, leaking out of the cracked walls. Eavesdropping is a terrible habit. That's what her mother always said. Then again, Jill had never much listened to her mother where manners were concerned.
This is the real deal this time? I swear if you brought me another Russian knockoff, said the first voice.
No, this is the real deal, said the other voice. U.S. Tech, this is straight from the spooks, man. The spooks had enough to fry an egg on, too.
If you're angling for extra cash, forget it. You got paid up front. Not my problem if you overestimated yourself.
Hey, I got it, didn't I? No thanks for your old pal shark skin.
She leaned over and peered through one of the boarded windows. She could make out the legs of two men. One was wearing jeans. The other had on suit slacks of a strange, shiny material. The jeans grunted.
I got love for you, but doesn't mean I trust you any further than I can throw you.
Was a time you could throw me clear across town, seems to me.
Was. Big word there. I was a lot of things. Now I'm not. Anything else I gotta know about this?
Nah, it'll work with the tech you already got. Plug and play, man. Plug and play. You got my card there if you need anything else.
Always a pleasure, Sharkskin.
Likewise, old-timer.
The two men walked out the back door together. The one in jeans stopped to hold the door, and, when he turned, Jill caught his profile. It was her Grandpa Jack. She sat back down fast. Did he see her? What was he doing? What could he possibly be buying that had tech?
He didn't have anything more advanced than a dial-up modem at home. Maybe it's a piece of farm equipment? Except that Grandpa didn't really farm, just kept a handful of animals for the company. He didn't even have a tractor, just his old pickup for hauling hay. Maybe it was a surprise? Maybe he was picking her up some kind of computer. In an abandoned building. From a man named Sharkskin. Somehow that didn't seem likely either. Gotta play it cool, thought Jill. If I ask and it's something interesting, he'll deny it. Jill ran from the porch, weaving through buildings, and managed to beat Grandpa Jack back to his truck. She leaned against it, doing her best to slow her breathing and look bored. A minute later, Grandpa came ambling into the parking lot, a grocery bag in one hand.
"Been waiting long?"
he asked, throwing the bag into the bed of the truck and then unlocking the doors. "Just a few. I found the bookstore."
"Too hot for you?"
he nodded at her forehead. Jill reached up and felt a trickle of sweat from her sprint back to the truck. "Guess so. I'm used to shade from all the buildings, I guess. Too much open sky here."
"See anything interesting?"
Jill felt her pulse quicken. Had he seen her? Would she be in trouble?
"At the bookstore," he clarified.
"Jill, you idiot," she thought to herself. She pulled out her books and showed them to Grandpa as they started back down the road.
"Your mother told me you weren't interested in science much anymore. If that's changed, might be I could teach you a thing or two. I was a pretty handy engineer back in the day."
Jill thought of all the hours she'd spent with her father in his shop. Getting the code just right, getting the mechanics in place, the beautiful poetic motion when it all came together and their little robot had taken his first steps. Without realizing it, she started to cry. A tear slipped down and she tasted it salty on her lips. "Sorry, Grandpa. I don't think I'm ready for that yet." He looked over at her, face unreadable.
"Maybe you're not, at that,"
he said, and let it drop. They pulled into his driveway a minute later.
"I'm gonna go give the horses their snack,"
he said, hefting the grocery bag.
"You head inside and tell your mom to get the kettle going. I'm making a stew for dinner."
Jill nodded and pretended to head inside. As soon as Grandpa was in the barn, though, she spun and padded after him, quiet as she could. She watched him cross the barn, ignore the horses, and step through a door into the barn's squat little silo. What was he doing? After a minute, she went after him. Every footstep seemed to echo like a drum, and when a horse whinnied at her, she nearly leapt out of her own skin. She got to the silo door and took hold of the knob. She couldn't shake the feeling that she was in over her head. "You're being silly," she told herself. "It's just Grandpa Jack." Just Grandpa Jack, who met with a man named Sharkskin, bought a piece of government tech in a sketchy building and lied about it. Her more skeptical side answered back. She opened the door. It squealed on the hinges like an injured bird, but it didn't matter. The room beyond was completely empty. Nothing but a rounded wall and a hard, dirty floor. No doors. No windows. No Grandpa Jack. To be continued. Today's story, part two of the serial novel The Brilliant Firefly Reborn, is an original work written by Daniel Hines and performed by me, Amanda Weldon. If you would like to support the show, please head to our iTunes page and leave us a review. If you would like to get advance access to exclusive content and receive a thank you in a future episode, please visit patreon.com/stories and make a pledge. Then send an email to amanda@storiespodcast.com and tell us who we should thank. Thanks for listening! Hey, Prime members! You can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today! Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.